There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio is on Play.it.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/GamertagRadio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 698. There's two more episodes to our 700th episode of Gamertag Radio. This is Danny. P and Paris are not going to be joining me this episode. So this is a very special episode. This was recorded during PAX Prime. For those that don't know, this is the West Coast version of PAX in Seattle. And there was a panel of Far Cry 5, the voice cast. They had a pretty cool panel talking about themselves, talking about a little bit about the characters in the game, and so on. So I want you guys to check this out. Shout out to Jack. He's from Roots of Teeth. He was also hosting this panel. So also thanks to Ubisoft for letting us record this during PAX, that was a lot of fun. So check it out, and we'll be right back after this.
Send us your feedback or questions.
Yep.
Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
What is up, PAX West? How are you guys doing today? Excited for some Far Cry 5. Hi, I'm Jack. I'm from Rooster Teeth. I play video games for a living, which is some weird profession that I can actually do. And thank you so much for coming out today. First of all, it's going to be a lot of fun. We got some really cool stuff. First, you guys are all getting these awesome Penny Arcade pins when you leave today. So thank you very much, Ubisoft, for that. That's super awesome. Now, let me tell you about, I love Far Cry, right? Far Cry has been awesome. It's been so much fun. If you've played a Far Cry game, you know they throw out kind of just the mundane and they go for nuts. Like, how many people remember Voss from Far Cry, right? Hell yeah. He's fighting Spider-Man now. That's a whole other thing. But yeah, Far Cry games have been incredible. They've taken you to all these different places, you know, the islands, the Andes, like all over these places. Far Cry 5 is coming to America. And I am so, so very excited to see what this team has in store. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And we have some really, really cool people today to talk about the game. You know, we have some really colorful cast of characters. And this time we brought some friends with us. And so please make some noise for Drew Holmes, the lead writer of Far Cry 5. And then we've got Murray Peters, who plays Grace in Far Cry 5. Who is Nick Rye, the eye in the sky. And Martin Roach, who is Pastor Jerome Jeffries. All right, so Drew, let's get started with you. So I know, I mean, all of you guys have played Far Cry before, right? Yeah, there might be some people watching on Twitch right now that maybe aren't into the game as much, or maybe they're more curious about it. So tell us a little bit about Far Cry 5.
Yeah, Far Cry 5, as we said, brings the franchise to America for the very first time. It's in Montana, in the fictional county of Hope County, where a fanatical doomsday cult called the Project at Eden's Gate, led by Joseph Seed, is sort of taking control of the county, capturing people. They believe that the end of the world is coming, and so they're capturing everyone, putting them on underground bunkers, and preparing for the end of the world. And the player, you step into this as a rookie sheriff's deputy, and you're going, nope, we're going to arrest this guy, and things quickly spiral out of control and don't go exactly as planned.
It never goes as planned. The game would be a lot shorter if it went as planned, I think. So, yeah, let's talk about some of these characters, though. So let's go ahead and focus on one of them. The first one that I really, really dig is Pastor Jerome Jeffries. So let's take a look at this video real quick. This is awesome.
Woe to the man who leads my flock astray, says the Lord. We were given so much. This land, this life, our freedom. What's left of it now? Our people felt abandoned, grew weary. They needed our help. And we didn't listen. But he did. Told them exactly what they wanted to hear. But those falsehoods, lies, is poison. It's driven them from pasture, from the righteous path. Woe to the man who leads my flock astray. For if I am not their shepherd, then I must be the wolf.
There we go. Got it. Man, you do not want to mess with that pastor. The offering plate comes around, you put shit inside of it. So, Drew, tell us a little bit about Pastor Jerome Jeffries.
Yeah, so Pastor Jerome is a member of Fall's End, one of the communities in the game. You'll be able to sort of explore and meet. He's one of the leaders of the resistance, and he's a guy who's built this community, built this congregation over the many years that he's lived in Fall's End. And as the cult has rolled in and sort of started to preach to the disenfranchised in the town, the downtrodden town, they started to believe, like he says in that trailer, a lot of the lies that Joseph Seed is talking about. And so he's, as everyone has sort of been taken and kidnapped, you know, Jerome is against the wall. And he's a man of God who I think at this point, when you meet him in the game, doesn't believe he's going to make it to heaven anymore. But he's willing to sacrifice his soul to save his community.
That's pretty damn intense. A pastor who doesn't believe he's going to heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus. Love Far Cry.
It's Far Cry.
So Martin, yeah. You play Pastor Jerome Jeffries. Tell me a little bit about your inspiration and what you bring to that character.
Inspiration for me kind of comes from, say, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, famous American preachers. They have that gravitas in their voice and a certain cadence that they use that's just so motivational. And you know it's coming from the earth itself. It's not just, well, sometimes it is bullshit. They come off the top of their heads. But the way it comes up and just that speech pattern, that with a guy who's willing to go balls out to do what he's got to do.
Yeah. So what's it like playing a character that you're, you know, basically giving up kind of everything for you personally, but you're, you know, helping your flock? What's that like? What do you bring to the performance to make that happen?
You bring any moment in your life that you had no actual control over, where you look at the bigger picture and go, I don't control all of this, but what I can do is this little bit right here. So you harken back to that, whether it was a fight in grade five or 2 years ago or a battle at work, whatever it is, where you have your little piece to do. Think about that piece and dedicate whatever you have. You're going to go to the wall for these people. You're going to go to the wall for your boss, for your mother, for whomever it is in your life. You bring that, put that in your brain, and put that in your body, and hopefully you can bring that out in your voice.
Now, people who tell me video games aren't art, watch that shit. That's awesome. Damn, that is cool as hell, man. So
and plus, he really pushed me.
No, I want to ask about this. What's it like working with the actors? Like, what's it like working with Martin?
It's great. I mean, you know, if you cast well, 90% of your job's already done. So they take a really bad script from me and they can turn it into something that's pretty good.
It was good.
You know, but the script is just a starting point, I think, for us. When we're looking to cast, people, there's sort of an audition script that is kind of the rough outline for what we're kind of planning for the character. And then you bring someone in like Martin, and what you're doing is you're hiring actors to bring something that you weren't expecting, or to surprise you with the things that you hadn't thought of in the character in a certain way. And so when we get into the booth, the first thing I say is like, okay, what we're looking for is a really natural performance. We want to bring yourself to this role. Mm-hmm. So if there's a line in here, if there's a word, if the cadence doesn't feel right, like let's talk through it, let's workshop it.
Basically, they let us play.
Yeah.
Like really, you're playing. You're playing with these lines. You're changing them. It's coming out of you. It's like, how would I say this?
Yeah. The goal, is if it doesn't feel like a real person, if you can feel the writer behind the lines, especially with a lot of the community people, it's not going to work. We want this to be, it's a normal person you could have met in any day in life. So the more natural, the more easygoing that we can find it. And that's why we bring good actors.
You don't want the actor saying, did anybody actually speak this out loud before me?
Nice tongue twister.
Nice. Yeah. So now, the one cool thing you guys were telling me is you had never met face-to-face up until like 2 days ago, right?
Yeah, this is... Nope. Steve and I had worked together. We'd done some mocap before. But yeah, Martin, it's just been...
I'm
Martin
in the
Murray,
booth in
it's
Toronto,
been in a booth.
He's in Montreal.
Yeah.
It works.
Nice. So you're like talking shit about each other, realize you're standing right
next
to
each other.
Yeah,
absolutely. No, okay. I've got a little mute button, and sometimes I forget that it's on. I'm like, God, it's just...
Yeah, he said some pretty bad things about my mother.
All right, so one of the other people in the game that I'm super, super excited about is Nick Rye. And we've got Steve Byers here. You've seen him on shows like Man in the High Castle, Rain, and Smallville. And he's worked on The Division and Ghost Recon Wildlands. So let's take a little bit look at Nick Rye real quick.
She's a beaut, ain't she? All this time, she ain't never let me down. I just hope she's around when he's old enough to fly. Ooh, my boy. I mean, I hope it's a boy. I just want him to fly like I do. Not like my dad. Or my grandpa. They flew in the war, so I didn't have to. But now, I don't know if he'll ever have the chance. Not with these around here. People are scared, man. I may never have gone to war. Them Peggy's come after my family. Sure as hell we'll give them one.
Yeah. Now, I don't know about you. How many of you guys have a Gatling gun just sitting in your garage at home? Just in case of emergency. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So Nick Rye, true. Tell me a little bit more about Nick Rye and his just sort of inspiration, what he's doing there.
So Nick owns Ryan Sons Aviation, which is an airstrip and a sort of crop dusting business in the game. He's a family guy. His wife Kim is pregnant, due any day. And this cult has rolled in and said, you know what, you're going to be a part of this cult, and whether you want to be or not. And he's trying his best to fend him off and protect his family. And I think he's sort of caught between, this is our home, this is the place we want to raise our child, but at the same time, we need to go. And I think he's probably more on the side of let's run, and his wife is more on the side of no, we need to stand and fight. And I think that dynamic between the two is. Is a relationship that we haven't really explored in a Far Cry game before, so it's fun to sort of play around with not just the villains but the community this time.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Steve, so you've played a bunch of different characters. You were Archduke Ferdinand in Rain. You were Desaad in Smallville. Played a Nazi in Man in the High Castle. A little different from Nick Rye. So what did you bring to his character that maybe you've never done before? I hope. Jesus.
I mean, less Nazi for sure. the great thing about this, I'm a huge fan of the franchise. So for me, it was awesome to become part of it. But Drew and the team, they wrote stuff that was already, on the page, he was already a really interesting character. But Nick's, like, he's the heart of in my opinion, sorry guys, but he's the heart of like the friendship. Like he's your everyday guy. And in fact, he's got a wife who's saying, okay, Nick, we're gonna stay. And he's like, no, let's go. I've got a kid on the way, I wanna get out of here. And every good husband does what his wife tells him. So that's what he's doing. He's sticking around, and he's becoming this, inevitably, he becomes this unlikely hero. And he wants to stand up and fight because the future. I mean, he's got a kid on the way. What else are you going to fight for?
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So what's the difference between playing a character in a video game like this as opposed to being like TV or movies?
Oh, I mean... So there's so much that's similar, but so much that's different, right? The setup, I don't know if many of you know about the volume. And the volume is where we capture the performance of us. And we're in a scuba suit, more or less, with balls on it. And you got...
We should put in reflecting balls, right?
Yeah, okay. To be clear, well, they could be reflective as well, but not the point. And we got a helmet with lights on it capturing our face and all that. So in that regards... I mean, there's the taking you out of it, but at the same time, that's all that there is. So we get to imagine what's there. And for an actor, that's fucking brilliant. That's also why I got cast, because I say fuck a lot. Sorry, everybody. But yeah, they bleeped it out.
Yeah.
But I was saying fuck. So yeah, and I mean... Ultimately, you get to play, and in film and television, you get to play, but you're bound by the constraints of this set and what they've already built and the wardrobe you're wearing and the makeup you have on. There's no there are there dots.
Yeah, well,
we have dots. I mean, it's weird. I have pictures, but you don't want to see them. But they're dots, and they record everything. But you get to play, and that's the one of the best parts about it.
Yeah, I want to point out, so that's performance capture. So that's actually Steve doing all of that moving around and everything. Mm-hmm. That was all recorded
live. I picked up that wrench. I did.
Nobody could have done it better, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man.
Well, I think I could have done it better, but...
It's true. I mean... Pipes, just saying.
Yeah. So, Drew, we got Nick up in the sky with a Gatling gun and bombs and stuff. I mean, I pretty much can guess why he's good to have on your side. But can you tell us a little bit more about what he brings to the game?
Yeah, in terms of the gameplay, yeah, he brings a plane, which is nice. He'll fly around, drop bombs wherever.
F-bombs, too.
Yeah, F-bombs, normal bombs.
Yeah. All the bombs.
All the bombs, every bomb you can think of. Machine guns, bomb. Things like that.
He is the bomb. Nick's the bomb.
Wow.
I just did that. I did it.
But I think just beyond that, in terms of the narrative, like I was saying, you know, we wanted to look at ways to build out your community this time around. It wasn't just about, you know, we have a really interesting villain. We have four interesting villains this time around. But if you can't sort of invest yourself in the people that you're trying to help, if you can't really empathize with the community that you're trying to build, then it all sort of feels very empty, and ultimately the goal of what you're trying to achieve doesn't sort of feel clear. So it was, okay, can we build people, can we create characters that, like, I just want to spend time with, right? Like, Nick and Grace and Pastor Jerome, like, have lots of stories to tell and a very unique viewpoints of the world. So how do we make sure that we can sort of build a cast of characters that may not see eye to eye on every sort of thing in the world, but they're all rallying against the cause of kicking the cult out of Hope County.
Nice. So, any funny stories that have happened when you guys were recording in the volume? Which sounds like a super villain lair.
Yeah. funny stories. Well, there was the one time that when we had a pickup session where I had to play your wife.
Yeah, but you were good. I mean, maybe a little too good.
Yeah, probably. That's really where the romance started.
There was chemistry.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Well, okay, so at E3, we saw the debut of a new character, badass Grace Armstrong. It will be portrayed by Murray Peters. So let's take a look at this.
And Grace?
We got papers.
She's the quiet sniper. The cult at Eden's Gate has basically taken over all of Fall's End. And you and your guns for hire have to take it back. We're going to send Grace, our sharpshooter, to the water tower to get ourselves some covering fire.
Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. Ow, 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 ow.
Nice. So Drew, what's your favorite Grace story? She's a cool character. What is your favorite Grace story?
Man, there's so many. I think the really neat thing about Grace as a guns for hire, as opposed to Nick, who's sort of always flying around up in the sky, Grace is like she's with you the entire time. Once you meet her in the game, you say, okay, I want you as my guns for hire. She's going to travel with you the entire way and always sort of be on the lookout and watching your back. And there's moments where, you know, you can send Grace up into a water tower or send her on top of a barn to sort of just pick people off with her sniper rifle. And then, because I'm really bad at the game, like, I'll get into a situation where, like, I'm just getting my butt kicked. And there was one moment where I was trying to, like, liberate Fall's End, and I'm just getting absolutely hosed. And I turn around and I hear someone, there's, like, on a machine gun, like a 60 cal. What the hell? I turn around and Grace is, like, doom, 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 knocking people down. I'm like, all right, cool, this game is awesome.
So that's the key. For me, I just send all my guns for hire out to do all the work for me. I sit back and collect the rewards. Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, Murray, tell us a little bit about Grace and what it's like playing this character.
Oh, God, it's been just an incredible experience. I mean, she's just so cool. So much cooler than I think I could ever really aspire to. I thought I was a little bit worried you guys would be disappointed to know that I'm a bit of a dork in comparison. But, I mean, not being necessarily an avid gamer myself, I think that she is really kind of saved my life when I was playing the game earlier. It's like, you know, she's up there picking people off while I'm kind of like looking at the sky trying to figure out where I am.
So what's it like playing with yourself?
He just said that. He said it.
Okay, no, let me read. Okay, playing with a character portrayed by you, what's that like? That's got to be a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, it's a little bit trippy. I mean, there are times where, like, we just have so much material to record, you know, like thousands of lines, and so there's some things that she says that I'm kind of like, did I record that? Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Nice. Can you tell us a little bit about her backstory, sort of her motivation for the game?
Well, you know how they say that the best revenge is to live well? Well, sometimes the best revenge is to get revenge. So she is out for blood. The cult has come in and has taken a loved one from her, and so she is just trying to set things right.
Damn, all right, that's all I need right there. That's pretty badass. So how do you prepare for a role like this? I mean, she sounds like kind of a badass, and so how do you get into that mindset when you're playing her?
I guess in this particular case, there's someone in my life who I found had a kind of a similar sensibility, so like my old, yes, Steve.
Go on.
my boxing coach, she was a big, right. Yes, a big, big motivator for the role. So she's like this very kind of fierce and like badass woman that's just unbelievable. And just like in the way that she talks and the way that she, like the melody of the way that she speaks and all of that type of stuff, it was a big inspiration. And especially since I'm not American, I know, shocker. I just really needed to pull on some kind of inspiration to really get that, like, vibe, I guess. And, yeah, that was it.
Man, that's pretty badass. Yeah, Grace being based after a female boxing instructor. Yeah, that's I could see that.
Any boxing instructor. She's in the Boxing Hall of Fame, actually, so she's pretty badass.
All right. Well, then.
Damn. She said that.
That's a knockout punch right there.
Yeah.
So what's it like preparing for, like a voice role as opposed to, like, a normal kind of acting? I mean, all acting roles, but, like, you're not on camera. It's just you're in your own head delivering these lines. What's that like?
It, at the beginning, it was kind of difficult. This is my first video game, and it's only the second voiceover thing I've done. So the last thing that I did was My Little Pony, and this is
same. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same thing. So for this, there was a lot of...
Which pony?
I can't say yet. It's not out. So for this, you know, there's a lot of like grunting and screaming and all of this stuff. And I did all of that in my first couple of sessions.
What are you talking about, My Little Pony? Okay.
So that was my first few sessions that I was doing all of that stuff. And so there was a little bit of like anxiousness on my part and just being like, don't look at me while I do this, you know?
Well, that's too, like, one of the big differences between, like, Grace or, like, Pastor Jerome and Mary May, like, the Guns for Hire versus the community, like, because Far Cry is so systemic and you can go anywhere in the world and try and do anything, you know, we've got thousands and thousands of lines of dialogue just for Murray because it depends on how you play the game, right? And as you progress through the world, like, we wanted the characters to sort of feel like they grew up there, they had a history with the place, so all these little, like, little points of interest that you'll come across in the world, barns and towns and you know, little businesses, the Guns for Hire all have a story about, you know, like, I grew up here, I went to school at this place, so that's how you're sort of understanding what the history of the space is by hanging out with your buddies and getting a sense of what the place was before the cult came in and what you're trying to fight to get it back to.
But then, of course, there's also the fact that we have to record the part where we go, oh, okay, I get it, you're in a rush, because some people just don't want to hear that shit and they want to shoot people. So yeah. We record those lines, too.
That's awesome. So Murray, you actually had a pretty funny story about how you almost didn't audition for this.
Yeah.
What happened there?
So the night before I got the audition for this, I was working this catering gig and they let us have a bunch of the food. And so I got food poisoning. And so
what was the name of the place?
So you know not to go there. Yeah. So I was so sick. So then the next day, my agent sends me an email and like I've been throwing up all day, all night. I just like lived in the bathroom. And so I read the email. He's like, oh, I've got this voice audition for you. Could you come through tomorrow morning at like 9 a.m. to record it at the agency? And like I told him, I was like, you know, I'm not really feeling well, but I'll do what I can. So then the next morning I wake up at noon. I'm like, shit. So then I send him a message. I'm like, sorry, like I totally slept through it. I'll record it as soon as I can. Fell back asleep. And then a couple hours later, I wake up and I'm like, I guess I should just record this thing. So I go into my room and pull the blanket over my head to make it like super soundproof. So
totally professional setup.
Exactly. That's how we do it. So I pull out the script, start, you know, bang it out a couple times and played around with it a few times, but I was still not feeling well. So I kind of just wanted to go back to bed. And like, part of me was kind of like, maybe I should just tell him that I don't want to do it. And just like, I'll just pass because like, I'm not going to get this anyways. Like people like me do not book these things. So like, whatever. But then finally I was like, fuck it. It's done. Just send it. I'm going back to bed.
And that's the one we picked.
Yeah.
We were like, you know what? There's something about this voice. Like, it's really detached. It kind of sounds pissed off. Like, why did no one else nail this character? This is exactly what we're looking for. Just get really, really sick before you're auditioning for a soldier.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Just down
and she's been puking and booking ever since.
Puking and booking? Is that what he said?
Oh, it's a thing now.
Oh, is that? All right.
Yeah, look it up.
Now, okay, so Drew, what's it like writing characters? Like, Grace is, like, a character that follows you around, and like, a Gun for Hire, whereas somewhere like Pastor Jerome, where he's, like, more of an NPC, like, he doesn't really interact with you. I mean, he interacts with you, but he doesn't follow you around.
Right.
What's the difference in writing those two kinds of characters?
I mean, I don't know if the how they're using the game really impacts. Really, what we've been focusing on was a cast of characters that are all affected by the cult in some way, right? So Grace has had, you know, someone that she loves very dearly taken from her. Nick is trying to fight back. You know, all of them have something that they're fighting for that I think brings a nice, you know, there's a different perspective on all of them for each character. The biggest challenge really in terms of writing isn't for their characters, but the fact that, you know, because we're the main character is really just an avatar for you. It's like you create your own character, you move through the space. The character doesn't speak, right? Because we don't want to sort of impose our thoughts on you as you're playing the game. So trying to make a scene move forward where really we're just relying on their performances or another character that maybe can slot in a cutscene. That's been the biggest challenge: is how do we keep the dramatic urgency of the moment moving forward when me as a player, I'm just sort of observing. That's the tricky bit. But I think, you know, we're doing our best. I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Now, what's sort of the stack of pages for someone like Grace or Nick versus someone, you know, like Martin over there, just has his dialogue and no one's following you around.
So. Yeah, it varies. I mean, you know, Grace, you know, and Murray has probably got, you know, like I said, thousands and thousands of lines to go through. And you know,
suckers.
some questions. So I mean, that script is just like line with very little context, and so I'm popping on the mic going like, so like, this is when you're on fire. This is when you're mad and you got shot. But when we're doing the cinematics, right, then it's sort of set up more like a traditional film script. And, you know, we've got Steve and Mako, who played Kim, or Martin in that scene. And it's the choreography, like Steve was talking earlier about the volume. You know, we have Far Cry's a first-person game, right? And so a traditional movie, obviously, there's a detached camera. It's third-person. You're sort of observing, and you can cut away. But because our camera is the player, you can't cut, because all of a sudden you're going, wait, where did I go from time and space? So the way that we shoot it actually tends to be much more like you're shooting a play, like it's a one take. And, you know, if it's a 3-4 minute scene and we have a flub at like, you know, minute 2:59, it's like,
it's never happened.
We gotta go back.
Not once.
Beginning.
Now you're doing it again.
Yeah, but I think that's why, you know, you like I was saying before, you cast really, really well, and you get actors who can sort of take all of the technical restraints that we have, the suit, the headset, the lights, the fact that it's just an empty space with maybe a plywood and PVC pipe version of an
Bible.
Airplane or a Bible.
How does that work?
But it allows, I think, it actors, you know, bring in a lot of their imagination to the role, and so can sort of play pretend again. I think it the more things that we can give them to sort of fall into character and forget about all the technical stuff that's going on, I think the stronger the performances that we get. And I think, you know, whenever you just have a scene where it's a character in a room talking to you, you lose interest really, really fast. So we've always been trying to figure out ways to how does the player stay engaged with the scene, both physically and from the performance that we're capturing.
Well, yeah, and it worked really well for us, because if you give a kid a stick, mm-hmm. he's got himself a gun. Mm-hmm. He's got himself a bat. He's got a tool of something, of some kind that he can use. So they give us these weird little pieces of PVC or a block of wood and tell you that, oh, no, this is a Courvoisier. Okay, sure, that's what I'm doing right now. But you have something to hold on to grasp to, and what we do is become children. Him, very easily.
That's fair. That's fair.
but when you have those things to play with, I feel like I'm 6 years old very quickly, and I'm really playing, you know, cops and robbers or whatever it is. And so I think that comes across for these guys. They're making my job easier, which hopefully is making their job easier.
Well, and the thing is, like, when the scene is actually put together, like, I know one of the very first things that we shot was with Steve, and it's a scene where the player has brought the plane back, and, you know, he's coming out and he's saying, oh man, like, this plane is like really means something to him. It's been in his family for a long time. And, you know, if it's just him walking out of space looking at what is supposed to be a plane that's there, you know, when it's all put together in the cinematic, there's a sense of detachment that you can feel when you're watching the scene. So we build out this sort of PVC pipe, and he's sort of running his hand along it, and it looks goofy when you're watching it live, because there's nothing there. But when we actually put the scene together and we started seeing it in game, like, you're seeing him run his hand along the plane and like climb up into it, and it just gives everything much more weight and much more believability. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, like, this, yeah, I believe this guy. This is his plane. He's has a real emotional attachment to it. And I think it helps you engage in the story.
Yeah, I mean, there's the big challenge too, when you see it. These things that are built, just so we're clear, the reason they build them with PVC and just a little bit of plywood is so that these hundreds of cameras that are around the room that are picking up the light that's reflected off of these little knobs. I can't say anything that doesn't sound sexual. But these things that are reflecting the light off of you, there are thousands and thousands of people that are working that aren't up here, which, I mean, it's kind of stupid, really. Because these guys are and girls are doing all the work and making, collecting all this data, rendering it, put it together, and they make all this stuff, and they put our meat puppet stuff on it, and, you know, we go, yay, it was us. But all these cameras need to be able to collect the data, so they need to be able to see through whatever. So you can't put a plane that you built there. It has to be see-through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've got a see-through plane just like Wonder Woman.
That's right. I mean, it's the same. Wonder Woman. Yeah.
You basically are Wonder Woman.
Basically, we're Wonder Woman.
Well, yeah, so I'll throw this out to kind of everyone. So you guys have all worked like TV and film and stuff, and this is a video game. Whereas a movie, there's a couple hundred people on it. Whereas a video game, there could literally be thousands of people all over the planet working on it. What's it like from your perspective? Is it like as actors or as a writer?
Who wants to take it?
Well, I mean, truthfully, I mean, the thing is when you walk through, if you walk through Ubisoft in Toronto or in Montreal or LA, I haven't been to Paris, but all these offices are just stacked floors full of really creative and intelligent people all working their asses off to make this work. And so I know sometimes you hear numbers, too, about how much a video game made, and everybody's like, oh, my God, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, how much goes into it.
There are that many more people exponentially working on a project versus a film. So, I mean, when you put it all into a chart, which I'm not going to do because that's math, you know, you can see how it's all a struggle still to make it all work, and everybody does it, for a paycheck, but there's art and pride in it.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, I think from the right standpoint, you know, it is such a small slice of the game as a whole. You know, when you've got, you know, teams of hundreds and hundreds of designers and programmers and artists that, like, you know, it doesn't matter how good something is on paper or even after we shoot it, like, it still has to go to an animation team and a character team to make sure that everything looks good, and the lighting team and the sound team. Like, there's so much more involved. And at the end of the day, right, like, the scene looks good and the writing takes credit, but it's like, you know, if it turned out bad, if it looks bad, like, no one gives a shit. Like, so it's the biggest team effort, I think, more so than movies and film.
And David, too.
Yeah, and Footy, our director, our mocap director, David Footman, right?
Who's like the Footy, most enthusiastic. Like, it should, at the end of the day, sometimes you're like, okay, that was a bad day, but
it was wonderful.
Yeah,
Footy was awesome. I remember when I was doing something in Toronto, I had the motion capture helmet on, nothing else. And
Wait, what?
That's how I work.
All right.
And nobody was objecting. I was reciting, saying some lines, and I saw Footy looking, or I thought he was looking at me, and he kept raising his hand, just like this. And when you're doing voice work, you're like, okay, bring it, more. I'm like, nope, he's not. He was just watching what was happening on the actual screen, on the other movie, and he's just into it.
Yeah.
He was just like, he didn't give a shit that I was there. But it was perfect. That's how much people love working on these things.
That's so cool. I've been in the other side of the industry for a long time, and the passion that goes behind these projects is amazing. Just talking with you guys, I mean, like, you've just been working on it a few months. Drew, you've been on it for, 4 years now?
I started, it's been about a year and a half.
You could just say 4 years.
Just 4 years. It's been a really long, it's
four
felt,
long years.
At times, it's felt like 4 years. Yeah, I mean, you've got guys. Some guys have been on the team since, you know, Far Cry 3. You know, they're very passionate about this franchise. It's not always, you know, we're a dysfunctional family, right? Where we may not always love each other all the time, but we're working together to make sure that this game is as good as possible. And I think everyone's really, really excited for what we're putting forth in Far Cry 5. I think it's probably some of the best stuff that we've done, but that ultimately is going to be up to you guys to decide.
Well, on that note, so I imagine there's a lot of aspiring game makers out here in this crowd, right? People who want to make video games for a living at some point. Okay, there's a few people, probably some watching on Twitch. Do you have any advice for someone maybe wanting to get in the industry?
Wow. Don't be an asshole. Like, it's tough, right? It's such a tight-knit group. I mean, I've been doing this now for 10 years, and I started in QA at Volition way back in the day on, like, Saints Row.
Nice.
And, you know, it was if you put your head down and you do the work and you're nice to people, good stuff tends to happen. And it's tough, but I think that if you're passionate about the work and you're willing to put the time in, you know, doors can open. You know, luck is like what? Success, or success is luck meeting opportunity. I completely butchered that.
That's amazing.
Luck.
He's the writer. He's the writer. Everybody.
Yeah. Luck is just opportunity
meeting preparation.
Meeting preparation. Yeah, that's wow.
All right. Well, let's get back. Let's get back to Far Cry a little bit. I want to talk about one of my favorite characters. Love you guys. Y'all are all awesome. But I want to talk about Boomer the dog. Hell yeah. So. We talked about this. So Ubisoft's amazing about doing cosplay guides and stuff and making like really like elaborate and like images you can use to make your own cosplay. They made a cosplay guide for Boomer the dog, which is awesome. But anyway, let's take a look at this video and check out Boomer a little bit more.
Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang.
That's like the most perfect representation of Far Cry right there. A happy dog with a gun in his mouth, Nick up in the sky, explosions, guy screaming, fire. That's so awesome. So, all right, so Drew, tell us a little bit about Boomer and the Fangs for Hire system in Far Cry 5.
Yeah, so alongside the Guns for Hire, we knew that, you know, Primal there had been success with the sort of the Beastmaster system. We said, okay, what is that version for Far Cry 5? And we came up, okay, well, if we have Guns for Hire, then we should have Fangs for Hire. So Boomer's the first one that we're sort of talking about of the Fangs for Hire system. He's probably my personal favorite. He'll steal guns for you. He's really great for like recon. Like if the cult doesn't really pay attention to a dog that's roaming around, so instead of sending Grace in to sort of scout, you send Boomer into an outpost. He tags everyone. They're just sort of, you know, it's a dog, whatever, and then he rips their throat out when you tell him to. But it's fun. I mean, I like the fact that, you know, he's a mutt. Everyone sort of, you know, was saying, no, it's got to be a German Shepherd, or it's got to be this, or it's got to be that. And Dan Hare, creative director, was like, it needs to be a mutt. He's going to be lovable. He's going to be cute and kind of ugly. That's part of his charm. And I think Dan came up with the name. It was like a friend of his had a dog named Boomer, and it was like, yes, okay. That's a great name for a dog that's basically using stealth. Boomer, yeah, works.
Nice. I like the idea. Like, I have a personal headcanon where Boomer actually lost his family to the cult and is fighting against them all. So, anyway, it's very, very similar. But so, okay, you mentioned Fangs for Hire. Mm-hmm. Fangs with an
Fangs.
S. Are we going to see more Fangs for Hire, possibly?
I would assume so, since I used that word. No, it's...
all right, that's enough of Drew. Thanks for coming.
No, yeah, I think there are a couple other surprises in store. For you to sort of meet some friendly creatures in the world that'll help you fight the cult, and that's all we're gonna say for now.
Tease. That's rude. All right, so okay, well, one big overview. So tell me about Montana. Like, we didn't really talk about it. Like, how did you guys come up with setting this Far Cry game in America, in this world? Like, what was sort of the thought process behind that?
Like I said before, you know, the team was always sort of saying, we want to bring the franchise to America. It's something that had been sort of kicked around. Does it feel right? Like, where do you set a Far Cry game after you do 3 and 4 and Primal? You know, what feels right? Far Cry sort of has to be a wilderness, a frontier, a place that has a lot of dangerous wildlife. That's sort of the DNA of Far Cry. And so we're going, okay, well, you know, Montana, you know, like was an idea that was first thrown out. So we sent a team up there as sort of a scouting mission. There were a couple other ideas on where we were going to go, like around the world. The minute that the team sort of landed in Montana, they were like, oh, no, this is it, right? Like you sort of look around the topography, the geography of the place. It's big and it's open. It feels remote, even though it's in the U.S. Like you're looking at your cell phone, you're like, I don't have any reception. I don't know where I am. It feels a little bit dangerous. And then it was a matter of can you create a believable villain that you know, if you're going to have carve out this section of the state and say it's been taken over by this violent cult, does that feel believable? And so we spent a lot of time, you know, sort of working with cult experts, talking with a lot of just getting the logistics down right about how this would believably work. And I think, you know, when you really start to dive into how a cult would take over, right, the first thing that they do is they bring a lot of people into a place, drive the property value down, start buying up more property. Because they've got the population, now they start to vote themselves onto the city council. And within, you know, a few months, it's like you look around, it's, you know, everything's controlled by this group. And you're going, I don't want to be in the cult. And they're going, well, if you're not in the cult, then you got to get out.
Good God.
That's scary.
Absolutely terrifying, isn't it, audience? That's just great. All right, so well, thank you very much for that. So now we've got some questions here from social media that I want to share with you guys. The first question is actually for Steve. It's from Bearcat Star.
Oh, Bearcat.
The Bearcat Star. It's very important. Right. That's, you know, next to the North Star.
Of course.
So what is your favorite part about playing Nick?
My favorite part about playing Nick? Well, I do get to say fuckers a lot, and so that's fun. I love that Nick's bringing in the plane element to Far Cry, because there hasn't been that opportunity in the Far Cry franchise before. So, I mean, flying the plane, that's pretty cool. So I'm going to take all the credit for that. Thank you very much.
All right, I got one for Martin. This is from Fisher Fry. Fisher Fry. I don't understand that. Martin, what is your favorite characteristic of Pastor Jerome Jeffries, and can you relate to him in any way?
He is, I guess, he's a badass with a brain and a moral compass. And I'm not a badass. But I often think that I could possibly be if pushed too damn far, so don't even try it. No, he is a badass with a moral compass in a brain, and I'm not a badass, but I love that aspect, that he just doesn't jump in because he wants to, because it's fun. I like the fact that he's the guy that thinks long before he actually gets into a scuffle. And then when he does, fuck, watch out.
So you're not a badass. You just play one in video games.
And on TV.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Murray, I got one here for you. Respect the underscore Hawk says, what is your favorite part about voicing a video game character?
Oh, I guess it would have to be the street cred.
Solid.
That's true. You get to walk around PAX with your head held pretty damn high when you're
yes,
in a video
definitely.
Game. That's awesome. All right, Drew, we got one for you. This yes. is from, Jesus Christ, G4NT8R0DY. Gunt Brody? Gunt Brody.
Go
he says,
for
it
today.
Go for today. I don't know.
Grunt?
Brody? No.
Anyway, G ants, whatever. Okay, they're asking, will the reason that why the government isn't getting activated in the city be addressed in the game?
Yes. That's all I will say because I don't want to spoil any of the story. Pretty quickly you understand what the situation on the ground is and why there's no one coming to help.
Nice, nice. All right, and we got one last one here from at Jack underscore P that says, do you have any favorite lines of dialogue in the game?
That's me.
Anybody have any favorite Murray? Lines that you recorded in the game? Murray? I think you got a good one.
Murray? Anything?
Boom, boom, motherfuckers. There it is.
That's awesome. I love that. All right, cool. So before we wrap this thing up, we've got one last thing, one last glimpse at Hope County in the world of Far Cry 5. But I also want to point out, so myself and Jeremy, we've been making videos for the Ubisoft YouTube channel. And next Thursday, you'll see us playing in Far Cry 5. And it's a lot of fun. So anyway, I think we have one last clip to check out right here. And then we'll get out of here and get some pins.
We must atone.
Is coming. You can feel it, can't you? You can feel that we are creeping towards the edge. I know that you are out there. And I know that you are in pain. But my children, I'm here to tell you that suffering is a choice, and you can choose a better path. Accept you. And we will take you.
Hello, brother.
Willingly or not.
Joseph.
And some of you may fight.
guest. Thank you so much. Make some noise for Drew, Murray, Steve, and Martin. I've been Jack. Check out Far Cry 5 at the PAX West showroom floor and enjoy your pins outside. Thank you very much, everyone. Bye, Twitch.
Thanks for coming, everyone. Thanks a lot.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right. So that was the panel voice cast recorded during PAX, PAX Prime. That was a lot of fun. Once again, shout out to Ubisoft. Thanks for letting me to record this during PAX. That was a lot of fun. And right now, we've been super busy, super slam. But don't worry, we got more stuff coming. A couple things that we have planned that's coming for the show. So stay tuned. All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. Share with your friends. You could also find us on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Also, check us out on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/GamertagRadio. Go also watch us record Gamertag Radio live Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m. or Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. both Eastern Standard Time. For more information, go to twitch.tv/GamertagRadio. All right, until next time, you're out. Take care, y'all. Thanks for all the support. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.